Father, we just thank you for this Sunday morning, Lord God. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we thank you for the rain. We thank you for the badly needed moisture that we needed in this region, Lord. So we just thank you, Lord, because you are always faithful, that promise, Lord God. So we just thank you today. We praise you. We glorify your name, Lord. We thank you for us being here, Lord God. We thank you for the many blessings. We thank you for how you provided for us this week and how you kept us this week, Lord God. And you thank you for bringing us back together once again. And Father, if we can just impose upon you once again, bring your Holy Spirit to us, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we pray your Holy Spirit doesn't just hover, but it falls on us and it infiltrates us as we learn about your word today, Lord God, all through the house of God, all through the houses of God. We pray for your Holy Spirit to come. It makes all the difference, Lord. Your Holy Spirit, he makes all the difference, Lord. So we just thank you, Lord, and we praise you and we magnify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Okay, just we have some handouts on the side, so make sure you get your hands out. It says Excellence of Love, and on the back it has Living in the Light. We're going to go through those, use those handouts today in addition to your regular handout. And we're going to be getting into day one, and we're still in the lesson on accountability. And Real Accountability is the name of our lesson, session two of War Room. And we're going to continue in that. And today we're going to be on day one, which I've entitled it The Value of Accountability. You'll see if you have the War Room Bible study, you'll see that I've added some stuff in there. I've used their stuff, but I've added a bunch of stuff, you know, just as I just really feel led of the Holy Spirit, just add some of this stuff. So they don't call it the value of accountability, but I do, because just reading through that lesson, that's what I kind of felt was a theme of this section. And our key verse is from Proverbs 27 and 6, and this is the New Living Translation, and it says, wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. So that's our key verse. And we will be coming back to them. And then we have a quote from the War Room movie from Tony. If you remember, Tony was the one that was kind of in trouble spiritually. And this is Tony's quote. We've been friends for a long time. And I think that's that Amber Alert that was coming out. It's coming out again. So if anybody has a phone, that's the Amber Alert out. It says, we've been friends for a long time, but some things are just none of your business. And boy, I don't know if you've ever heard that before. But, you know, you're trying to minister to somebody, and they'll say, you know what? It's none of your business. They may not have said it's none of your business, but they've said it in so many words. Why don't you just leave that alone? Let me handle that. I got it. You know, all kind of things that we say when we don't want anyone saying anything to us about the truth. Or about the truth of our situation. So again, as I said, in this section on real accountability, it's a two-way street. You know, it's not just about you giving advice to other people, spiritual advice. It's about you receiving too. So we could be in Tony's shoes or we can be in Michael's shoes. Michael was the brother that was trying to talk to him and try to minister to him. So you could be either way. So again, as we go through this section, you find yourself. And sometimes you're on both sides, you know? Sometimes I find myself with Michael, and sometimes I find myself with Tony, you know? So I've got to just bring all of that to the cross and really understand what the Lord wants us to be. Next on your section is a quote from our Bible study. It says, while the Bible does not offer us a simple recipe for accountability with other believers, ingredients can be found throughout the Old and New Testament. And that's absolutely true. That's why you need to know your word, because when you know your word, then the Holy Spirit can bring things back to your remembrance. The different ingredients that you need as you're ministering to other people, the Holy Spirit can bring those ingredients, but you have to know it. You have to have studied the word of God. I can't tell you how many times the Holy Spirit just brings scripture up in my mind, you know, that I've read before. So I can tell someone, give someone a word in season that they need at that time. Again, this accountability piece is such a necessity. And as I said from the very beginning, why is it a necessity? Because the enemy is picking us off, folks. People are being deceived left and right. I'm talking believers. I'm not talking about people that don't know Christ. I'm talking about believers are being deceived. So it's so important that we hold each other accountable, that we pray for each other, that we lift each other up. Nobody is immune to it. Don't think that you're so high and mighty and holy that the enemy cannot deceive you. I've seen great people, great men and women of God deceive. Preachers, teachers, prophets, evangelists can be deceived. So never get in your mind that you can't be deceived, because that's one of the deceptions of the enemy, to make you think you've been saved for so long, you can't be deceived. That's a lie. You better keep praying. Keep believing. Keep holding on to God. Keep up your spiritual nutrition. That means prayer. That means Bible reading. That means coming together with believers. That's your basic diet when you are a believer. You need those three elements are necessary if you are going to make it. Because I'm telling you, you're dealing with a deceiver, and he's a great deceiver. So we have to hold on to what the Lord has told us to do and hold on to each other. So today we're going to really spend some time in Ephesians 5. You can turn to Ephesians 5 in your Bible. I've got scripture in it. I think on your handout has, in your handout, Living in the Light, that has the scriptures that we're going to go through. But, you know, turn to, if you have your Bible, turn to it in your Bible too and mark it. You know, put a bookmark in your Bible so you can know. You know, again, get familiar with your word. Get familiar with your Bible. You know, and so I want you to have your own Bible out, even though I've printed out this section from Ephesians 5. This section is entitled Living in the Light. So we're going to read first our introduction to this. And it says, as we review Ephesians 5, we can make a list of things that we need to bring before God in an attitude of confession. Resist making excuses. Instead, press into prayer for that thing in your life or things in your life that you need to lay at the feet of the cross. Note that all Christ needs from you is the will to change and the prayer to change. Then he will release the Holy Spirit to do the rest, the heart work in you. Because don't think it's a feeling that you have to have before you decide to pray or before you decide to change your will. All you need is just the will. As an act of my will, Lord, I'm going to forgive that person. I may not feel it. I may still feel a lot of resentment, a lot of anger. But if you would ask God, Jesus, it is my will that I forgive. And as an act of my will, I'm going to forgive. Watch the Holy Spirit do the rest of the work. Because God does not violate your will. That's something he gave us, that free will piece, man. Sometimes that frustrates some of us, doesn't it? Don't you wish you can take a hold of somebody's free will and make them do what they need to do? Oh boy, don't we wish we could do that? But that's a gift from God that he gave all of us, that we have free will. And that is so frustrating not to have that free will and not to be able to get that over on somebody. But praise God, you know, it's a gift from God, and that's the beauty. The other part of free will is that you can't have real love without free will. You know, you can't have real trust without free will. So that's why God gave it to us. And I'm so happy to see our sister here today. I just caught a glimpse of her. So glad to see you today. So as we go on, and let's read Ephesians 5, it says, imitate God, therefore. We're beginning at the first verse, and it says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Don't participate in the things people do. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. It is shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret, but their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them, for the light makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Wow, I just love the word of God, don't you? It just hits you. It hits you in all kind of ways. It covers all the bases. You know, so we just love the word of God. So we're going to just park here in Ephesians 5 for a while and just really talk about these verses. So we're just going to take it apart again. The first section that we have in your notes is live a life full of love. Boy, that's the first thing it says, live a life full of love. And I'm reading that, what I just read, I read from the New Living Translation. That's what I was reading from. So it says, live a life full of love. Do not be a hater of people, of any people. You know, there's no place to hate anybody, folks. I know people sin. I know they do all kind of things, but God does not call us to hate. He calls us to love. I tell you, this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should also unselfishly love his brother and seek the best for him. And this is from 1 John 4:21. So comments on that. Loving someone does not always feel comfortable. Okay, let me tell you that right now. Loving people don't always feel comfortable, but we must overcome our discomfort and unselfishly love people back to spiritual health. Sometimes we're loving people to spiritual health. They've never even been saved. But loving people that are, you know, we're talking, you know, with this accountability piece, we're focusing on believers. And we're talking about the issues that we have as Christians. You know, and sometimes you have to love people, you know, even when you feel uncomfortable with what they're doing and you are, may feel all kind of feelings by what you're doing, but you got to put your feelings aside. You know, we got to unselfishly love people. It's not about your feelings. It's about obedience to the Holy Spirit. It is about the Holy Spirit. So let the Holy Spirit inspire you when you're interacting with people who are having problems and are having issues. Not your feelings, folks. Let the Holy Spirit, you can do this. You know, I used to read this, about the Holy Spirit making, the Holy Spirit helping you, and I just didn't quite believe it until it happened. You know, I said, okay, Holy Spirit, help me in this situation because I know what I'm feeling right now. And he will. He will come and he will change you in a moment. You know, all he requires is that you step out in faith and ask him and step out in faith and watch. You'll just change. It'll be like, and you're different. Because now you're walking in the Spirit, meaning you have to put your feelings aside. This means we pray for them. We resist returning insults for insults, evil acts, and even preaching to them. Sometimes you don't need to be preaching right now. Okay, you need to be loving right now. You need to be helping right now. You need to be giving right now. You don't need to be breaking out the Bible and preaching. You know, they're already hurting. They're already down. They're already feeling guilty. Well, sometimes, folks, you got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You know, like the woman when she was caught in adultery and they brought her up in front of everybody and they're about to stone her and they're holding the rock ready to crush her skull. She didn't need a sermon right now. She needed a Savior. And Jesus saved her. Jesus dealt with the crowd first. He dealt with saving her. Getting her to a safe place and a safe situation, then he ministered to her. And we've got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in that. Sometimes it's not time to be preaching to people. They're sitting in jail. They need you to bail them out. They don't need you to come with your Bible with you through the bars. So the Bible says, do not steal. Thou shalt not steal. That's why you're in here, because you're stealing. Bail the poor soul out. They're sitting in there, all these crazy people around us, and they're like, please, please. You know, Just get me out of the situation. So we've got to know how to rightly divide the word of truth and how to live full of love. Instead, we love and we give as the Holy Spirit directs. We give of our time, we give of our resources, and sometimes we give of our finances as the Holy Spirit directs us, okay? Because, you know, you got to be so sensitive here, because sometimes it's just really critical that we hear the Holy Spirit in situations. Because sometimes the Holy Spirit would say, yeah, don't preach to them and don't do anything right now. I'm trying to work with them. But Lord, they're in this situation. Stay out of it. And I've had the Lord tell me to stay out of it. I know you want to jump in there and just, you know, just save the day and rescue, but stay out of it. I've had the Holy Spirit tell me I'm trying to do something and you're getting in the way. So again, folks, sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes he'll tell you to move and help, and sometimes he'll say, stay out of it. I'm working something. I'm doing something here. So again, prayer and that relationship with God is so critical as we love people. We got to know how to love people. You know, and then that brings us to that next section, the other side of your handout, where it's from 1 Corinthians. I just had to review that 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and just read about love and what love looks like. Because sometimes we think we know what love looks like, Lord, guys. But let's look at what the Bible says love looks like. It says, if I speak with the tongues of men and angels and of angels, but have not love for others growing out of God's love for me, then I become like a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, just an annoying distraction. And this can even be when you're trying to quote scripture to people. You know, you're not like you're a noisy gong. You're a clanging cymbal. You're just annoying people instead of, because you're not operating in the love of God in the situation. Verse 2 says, and if I have the gift of prophecy and speak a new message from God to the people and understand all mysteries and possess all knowledge, and if I have all sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains, but do not have love reaching out to others, I am nothing. I don't care how gifted you are, how much you can talk and twist a turn and sing and hit a high note and do all the things that you do, if you don't have love with it, it means nothing. We see that all the time. People are surrounded by all kind of beauty and gifts and talented people, but there's no love. You know, sometimes you hear the stories about people in Hollywood, the actors, and, you know, all these famous people, and how they have everything. You know, they have fame, they have fortune, they have money, they have everything. But yet, you hear these sad stories about their life. Suicide, drugs, their kids all, you know, because it takes love. You can have all of these things. We can have all these things, but there's no love. And that actually gives us a lesson not to be pursuing all these things that people tell you to pursue. You know, I know we live in America. I know it's all about the American dream and rising up from the ashes and all of this stuff. But folks, I'm telling you, you better hear God concerning your destiny. Hear God concerning your future. You know, everybody's not meant to be famous and all of this stuff. Some people are meant, oh Lord, to work, you know, in the backside of the desert, serving God. You know, or here, there, and the mission, and, you know, so many different things. Hear God concerning your destiny. Because when you see him one day, you want to say, I fought a good fight. I finished my course, the apostle said, and I kept the faith. I want to finish my course. I'm not looking at finishing somebody else's course. But what do you have for me? And if it's right here in the small town, in the small city, it's not in, you know, he didn't call you to L.A. and New York. He called you to Pueblo. Good old Pueblo, Colorado. Praise God. I'm telling you, you know, when I'm not a native of Pueblo, but I'm telling you, when I came to Pueblo, when I came to, you know, because we were supposed to originally move to Colorado Springs, but just from a course of events, we ended up in Pueblo, Colorado. And, you know, and I'm so glad, because this is where God wanted us. You know? I mean, I just don't even know. We were set for Springs, but somehow we ended up in Pueblo, all the way from New York. See, we got New Yorkers. I'm a New Yorker too. You're from Eastern New York City. You're from the, see, Terry's from the city. See, I'm from Western New York. I'm from the Queen City, Buffalo, Niagara Falls area, okay? So, you know, you guys, the country. So you guys will please receive these New Yorkers into your midst. We would appreciate it because, God assigned us here. This is where we are. You know, this is where our joy is. This is where our peace is. You know, so understand what God is calling you to do. Don't get on all of this stuff, but love, the love of God is going to call you to different places so that you can love where you are. Love where you are. So don't always be seeking all the other stuff. Sometimes God has got you right where you are, where he wants you to be. Goes on to say, if I give my possessions to feed the poor, if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it does me no good. Another aspect of love. Sometimes we love to show off so everybody can see what we're doing. You know, you can't give a dollar without everybody knowing I gave a dollar to the charity. You know, see me putting it in the bucket. But it says, but if you don't have love, if you don't do it out of love, you know, see, love doesn't show off, you know, and I'm getting ahead on the scripture. Let me just read the word. The word has it. It says, love endures with patience and serenity. Love is kind and thoughtful and is not jealous or envious. Love does not brag and is not proud or arrogant. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not provoked, nor overly sensitive and easily angered. Oh my God, help us in the church. It does not take into account a wrong endured. It does not rejoice in injustice, but rejoices with truth when right and truth prevail. Hallelujah, that says a lot about love and what it really is. Love bears all things. I mean, we take it. We take it for each other. You know, you having a bad day and you snap at me, I can take it. I'm going home praying. I'm holding you up. You know, I'm not going to, I can't believe you talked to me that way, and I'm just going to just sit on the other side of the church from now on because you just, come on, folks.
Amen.
We got Jesus.
Amen.
I can love past a little snap. My goodness. Oh, Lord, help us. Love bears all things regardless of what comes, believes all things, looking for the best in each one. Hopes all things, remains steadfast during difficult times, endures all things without weakening. Because love, God, that love of Christ will come back in you every day, every morning. He'll pour a new, fresh, portion of love into you for the day. Hallelujah, it won't weaken. Love never fails, it says. It never fades or ends. But as for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for gifts of special knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. For our knowledge is fragmentary and incomplete. But when that which is complete and perfect comes, that which is incomplete and partial will pass away. We're going to know it all after a while. See, I tell you, we only have partial intel right now. We only see parts of things. Jesus sees it all. That's why he tells you to love folks. Because you don't know what they've been through. You don't know what's happened to them. That's why they're acting the way they are. They are acting. Jesus knows all of it. That's why he says, love them. But they have such a bad attitude. Love them, he says. Because we only know in part. But one day, we're going to see it all. Oh, boy. I just think about that day when he's going to show us all of what it was all about. We're going to see in part. You're going to see that person. And boy, I think, you know, we would just, our hearts would weep when we see everything. It says, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. And that speaks a lot about love. Because children love in a certain way. But when you're an adult, when you're grown up, you love in a different way. Children love you. I love you if you love me. You treat me mean and I'm not. But mature love Oh, it sees through the hard times. It looks beyond the faults and sees the need. That's what mature love does. And that's why this part is in here. I reason like a child. But when I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now, in this time of imperfection, we see in a mirror dimly, a blurred reflection, a riddle, an enigma. But then when the time of perfection comes, we will see reality face to face. We'll see it all. We'll understand. Now I know in part, just in fragments. But then I will know fully, just as I have been fully known by God. Now there remain faith, abiding trust in God and his promises, hope, confident expectation of eternal salvation, love, unselfish love for others growing out of God's love for me. These three, the choicest graces, but the greatest of these is love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Boy, as somebody said, enough said. Enough said. We're moving on to the next segment, okay? That this is one for the war room wall, folks. This right here, this whole chapter. Because if you're going to fight, if you're going to battle in this war, you better learn how to love or you're going to lose every time. As we go on to the next section, pray against sexual immorality. And these are acts that defile your own body. It says, scripture says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is within you, whom you have received as a gift from God, that you are not your own property, that you were bought with a price. You were actually purchased with the precious blood of Jesus and made his own. So then, honor and glorify God in your body. And that's 1 Corinthians 6. 19 through 20. Now, as we go through this segment of Ephesians 5, to be made his own means that you are spiritually married to Christ. You understand? To be made his own, you're spiritual. Therefore, you do not defile your spirit with sexual immorality. You know, sexual immorality, it goes deep. It runs deep. It's not just a physical thing, folks. It goes deep into your soul and even affects your spirit. You know, when you get into sexual contact, yet sexual contact belongs where Christ has designated it to belong, within holy matrimony. That's where he has designated it to belong. So as long as you are faithful to Christ, that's where your sexual activity takes place. As soon as you step out of that, you're cheating on Christ. Amen. First of all, you're cheating on Christ, first of all. And if you're married, you know you're cheating on your spouse. But even deeper, you're cheating on Christ. You're cheating on the one who gave you your body. He gave you these bodies that we live in. They're amazing things. I mean, I'm telling you. I mean, just from my study of medicine, boy, I'm just amazed at the human body and the things that it can recover from. It is so resilient. It heals itself. Man, you think about that heart beating. That heart was beating before you were even born. Do you understand? 8 weeks into it. 8 weeks into conception, your heart started beating. It hasn't stopped yet. They had some incredible number, the number of times your heart beats in 75 years. I mean, amazing. He gave you these incredible bodies, and he expects you to honor it. You know, and we have seen the results of when people don't honor it. It's amazing to me that when you watch television and how they just really just play up this sexual immorality. You know, sex sells is their banner. Sex sells. Sex can kill too. It's killed many. Not just by disease, folks, but just by the folks that got mad and angry. Because if something happens with that connection, that gets people angry. Folks, I'm telling you, so this one in particular needs to be talked about, needs to be understood that we violate our bodies, we cheat on our Savior when we get into sexual immorality. The gravity of this sin weighs in not just in the physical, but in the spiritual. And you've got to understand that. It's not a light thing. Don't believe what you see on TV, that people just do it and they fine and they go on. No, I'm telling you, every time you have a different sexual partner, you become a little more fragmented. They don't show you, they don't tell you this stuff, you know, and they should. You know, I'm amazed at some of the things when they talk about some of the diseases that teenagers can get. You know, I was watching one commercial, I think it was on the HPV vaccine, and they were talking about, you know, the kids looking back, mom, dad, did you know? Did you know this disease? Did you know I should have gotten the vaccine? And no mention about how you get it. I'm like, why don't you tell the child how he got it in the first place? But no mention. I'm like, oh my God. You're not even telling them how they get it. You just want to turn around and blame the parents for not getting the vaccine. So I'm like, we live in a world where there's so much deception going on concerning this issue, you know, but people are dying because of it. The diseases alone are taking out so many people. The diseases. You know, back in the day, syphilis was the first one. We found a cure for syphilis, and then they got gonorrhea, all the kind of stuff, all the way up to AIDS. And they still haven't found a cure for that one. They just learned how to prolong the life a bit. But it's still here among us, folks. So again, our Savior warns us. He says, glorify God in your body. Use these bodies to glorify God and watch Him bless you and bless your life. So as we go on to the next section, it says, pray against impurity. Now, this is the one that can be somewhat nebulous, meaning like you're just not clear, you know, on what the impurity is. So let's talk about this a bit. Obscenities, dirty jokes, cursing, and words that degrade men, women, and children. You know, these things, you know, we have to watch out. It says, out of the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. These things, my brothers, should not be. These things, my brothers, should not be this way. For we have a moral obligation to speak in a manner that reflects our fear of God and profound respect for His precepts. And that's from James 3 and 10. So I know we live in a world that it's almost impossible not to hear obscenities. You hear it all the time. It's all around you. We are surrounded by the hordes of hell. The scripture describes Satan as the prince and the power of the air on earth. Therefore, you'll hear the influence of his speech in mankind. In humankind, you're going to hear the influences of Satan in the speech of people because he is a prince in the power of the air. It comes out of our mouth. But you can still stand for Christ. You can still stand and be children of light that shines in the darkness. See, that's why the scriptures describe us as lights that shine in the darkness. Your speech is going to be different. You're going to say the different thing in the crowd. You know, everybody else is talking a certain way, but you are going to talk differently. Don't think people don't notice that you're not cursing and you're not swearing and you're not saying dirt. People notice. Because as soon as you say something, oh, did Terry say that? She said that? Because you're a light shining in the darkness. So I want to encourage you, continue being children of light because people are listening. They may not act like it, but they're listening and you are a light who shines in the darkness. Your speech will be different. You will bring refreshing to those that live in the darkness. And when the darkness is trying to embrace a brother or sister, hold the light. Oh Lord, the Holy Spirit will place the light on your tongue so you'll be able to speak those things which you should speak. You know, so we continue to live, as children of the light. And the evidence is around us. You know, I look at Christian movies. I look at Christian series or clean TV shows. How they thrive. You know, I mean, they thrive. You know, Touch My Angel was on a few years ago. That was, they were on 9 seasons. We were just talking about War Room. War Room was the number one movie in America in 2016, 2015, around there? 2016, number one movie in America. Christian movies are thriving and doing well because they are a light that shines in the darkness. And the enemy wants you to believe only sex will sell. That is a lie. It is a lie. Oh, the truth will always rise. We were talking about it. I was talking about it with somebody. It said, you know, they try to bury Jesus, but I'm telling you, he'll rise every time. He'll rise every time. You put Jesus in stuff and he's going to rise. So don't think. Don't let the world make you think. Because it's just a liar. He lies to us constantly. Trying to make us think, oh, the Christians just need to be quiet. They just need to be quiet. Stop, you know. Oh, folks. Oh, let the truth. Let the truth ring out. Say your opinion.
Amen.
As far as I know, the First Amendment is still in place. You know, right to religious freedom. I said, you know, it's still in place. People think you can't say what you... Yes, it's still in place, folks. They haven't repealed it, okay? At least I haven't heard. Have you guys heard? Has the First Amendment been repealed? They will want to, but we're going to pray. We're going to pray. Because we believe this is one nation under God. Amen. So we stay with it. So folks, so we just let the light be children of the light. And I just want to say a word. Watch gossiping. You know, because gossiping is a spreading of a curse. You're spreading a curse when you gossip. You know a detail, a negative detail about somebody, and you're spreading it around. You're spreading a curse. You're speaking it over them, again and again and again. So watch out for that. You're testifying for Satan. You're talking about what Satan has done. Oh, did you hear what happened? The Susie Marie, did you hear? This happened. And her child did this. And, her child was arrested and... You're testifying about the acts of Satan. Why would you do that? Oh, boy. I tell you, that's why the scripture says we take captive every thought and we make it obedient to Christ. Because our tendency as humans is to get that juicy morsel of gossip and repeat it. That's our tendency. Remember, we were born in sin. We were born in this stuff. So even after we've accepted Jesus Christ, man, that thing tries to come back. Oh, why don't you? And then you remember who you are. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I've not so learned Christ. Christ wouldn't do that. He wouldn't spread. He would rescue. He would rescue like the woman in adultery. Publicly, disgrace. And he rescued her. He didn't add to her shame. He rescued her from her shame. And then he gave her hope. He said, go and sin no more. He gave her hope for her future. That you can make it. Just go and sin no more. So that's the way we have to be. You know, you understand? You understand who you are? This whole lesson is about who we are and who we are supposed to be in the community. Who we're supposed to be in front of everybody. They need the light. They don't need more darkness on darkness. They need the light that shines in the darkness. And I know sometimes you're alone in your workplace. Sometimes you're alone in your home. But they need it. They need the light. Trust me, they need it. I don't care how much they resist you and give you a hard time, honey. They need the light. Because one day, I'm telling you, one day when you're caught up out of this world, folks, oh man, I'm telling you, you're going to rush and try and find your Bible. What was in that Bible? What was Mama talking about? What was Daddy? What was Auntie talking about? Folks, I'm telling you, be the light. Be children of the light. The next part it says in the Ephesians 5, pray against greed. Oh boy, this is something that we need to hit on too. I'm telling you. Greed is taking more than you need. Simple as that. Simple as that. We don't need a long, drawn out definition. It's taking more than you need. Setting up material possessions as idols. It's another part of it. The scripture says, give and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over with no space left for more. For with the standard of measurement you use, when you do good to others, it will be measured to you and return. And that's Luke 6:38 in the Amplified. So basically, a greedy person is an idol worshiper. Because you worshiping something. That's why you're greedy. That's why you're not thinking about the needs of your brothers and sisters. You're just thinking about you because you worship what you have. God's abundance gives abundance to us. So God gives abundance to people he can trust with it. If God gives it to you, he gives it to you because he believes he can trust it with you. Those blessings that you have, you know, sometimes it's resources. Sometimes it's connections. Sometimes it's money. But sometimes it's just, you know, you have the ability to help others, and God blessed you with it because he could trust you to give it away when it was needed. And you give it away, as I said before, without accolades, often in secret. You give it away. Nobody even knows. The scripture says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. You don't have to go tell everybody. And I've met such people like this. And it's amazing when you meet people like this. As you guys know, I run a nonprofit organization, and I'm telling you, the people that have dropped checks in the envelope, the one person dropped a check in the envelope, didn't send a note, nothing, just a check. And it wasn't a small check either. And no note, no nothing. And I tried to call him up to thank him, and he wouldn't even take my call because he knew I was calling. When he was like, no, no. We don't even need to talk about it. Just being obedient. That's all. Boy, I learned so much from that person. Because that person has such peace in their life. They it's like they walked around with such security in their life, knowing that God takes care of everything. And when he tells me to do it, I do it. I give it. It doesn't matter what I have in my bank account now. You know, it used to matter. Like, well, if I give this, then, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be able to cover. It doesn't even matter anymore. God says, give it, I give it. I don't even do the math anymore. I used to do the math. Yeah. I know I'm messing with you melancholies, you analytical people. I know I'm messing with you all. But I'm a melancholy, too, and I'm telling you, he taught me. Stop doing the math and just do what I told you to do. I'll take care of your bank account. Okay, now don't write a bad check. I'm not telling you to write a bad check. Make sure the money's in the bank, okay? I'm just saying, don't, you know, God takes care, you know, and it gets you over greed. Again, this is where we were born. We were born greedy. We're born, why, give me. That's how we were born. That's how we came up. But when Jesus comes along, oh, wow. Even though your tummy's rumbling, you can give that bread to somebody else when Jesus comes along, because you know he'll take care of you. You know, I'm telling you, I'm just thinking about the how he fed the 5,000. And the disciples were saying, Jesus, you need to send them away. We can't feed all these people. All we got are, you know, two fishes and a couple of loaves. And you need to send them to town to get their own food. And what did Jesus say? Sit them down. Sit them down. And he fed every single one of them, including the disciples. That's the God we serve. You got to know whose you belong to. He will take care. He will give you what you need. And greed, one thing we need to understand about greed rots a person's soul from the inside out. When you're greedy, it rots your soul. You're selfish and you're prideful when you're greedy. When you have more than you need. You've seen people have more than what they need. And nose all up in here. All these cars, people walking, and you got all these cars. I don't know. Thank you, Jesus. and it breeds, it rots you. You don't even understand what's happening to you. I don't think they even understand what has happened to you, because there's a lack of love and consideration for other people. Overall, greed pushes out your relationship with God. You fail to see what's more important in life here on earth. You think it's the collecting all the possessions. What's the saying says? The one who dies with the most toys wins. Is that what they say? That's a lie, folks. That's a lie, honey. Don't you believe it? I would say the one who dies empty wins. That's what the word says. The one that empties, has emptied himself out, that's the one who wins. Don't you believe, you know, there's all kind of cute quotes and sayings on this earth that are just downright lies. As I started to listen, I said, yeah, I used to say that type of stuff. I'm like, you know, that's not true. I said, I had to stop saying certain things. You know, popular quotes and things that people say and, you know, all the things. Well, if it feels good, do it. Boy, if it, you know, what's that song? What's the song that says, know yourself or you know, make yourself and push yourself up. I'm like, you know what? I had to rethink that. I'm supposed to be pushing everybody else up, not myself. You know, I mean, just things that we just need to understand, truths that are in the Word of God. That's why you got to study your Word, folks, because the world is feeding you a bunch of lies and we're eating it up and thinking that this is a good thing and it isn't. So again, you got to understand that greed pushes out your relationship with God. And, you know, I just want to encourage you to read about the wealthy fool that Jesus talked about in Luke 12. You know, he had more and more enough. What are you going to do with all your excess? Well, I'm going to build bigger barns. And I'm going to put it in my bigger barns. And Jesus said, thou fool, today your soul is required of you. Meaning you got a date before God today. Oh, man, where you have to give an account of your life. You got a date with God today to give an account of your life. And you're worried about building bigger barns. Folks, you better keep your mind, keep your focus on what's important. You could be gone in a minute. We see it every day. Do you know 1 million people, over 1 million people die every week on planet Earth? Did you know that? You need to go to theworldclock.com. Go. And these are just the recorded ones. Over 1 million people die every week on planet Earth. It could have easily been me or you in that million. That's why I say, when I come in here on Sunday, I'm like, Lord, thank you, Jesus. I wasn't one of the million this week that crossed over into eternity. Folks, I'm telling you, you better look at what's important. The next part says, pray against the deeds of evil and darkness. Still talking about Ephesians 5. These are things you would be ashamed of if anyone knew you did them. Okay, let's hit this for a little bit. I'm going to read from 1 John 1, 9 through 10. And it says, if we freely admit that we have sinned and confess our sins, he is faithful and just, true to his own nature and promises, and will forgive our sins and cleanse us continually from all unrighteousness, our wrongdoing, everything not in conformity with his will and purpose. If we say we have not sinned, refusing to admit acts of sin, we make him out to be a liar. By contradicting him, and his word is not in us. Wow. I tell you, do not allow Satan or people to lie to you concerning this promise of God. God will forgive you. Some people are so burdened down with guilt because of the things that they've done that they don't really believe this scripture. They don't believe that Christ can cleanse them from all unrighteousness. And you know that because of the way they behave. Even after they come into Christendom, they behave. They stay in the back. You know, they feel such shame and such guilt for what they've been through and what they've done that they don't even want to you know, I'm not worthy to even sit in the front of the church. I certainly can't get involved in ministry. Oh, no, I can't do that. You know, I can't do any of these things because of my sin. They still carry that around. Don't let Satan or people make you believe that a lie. That's a lie. Okay, because it's usually people talking. I can't believe they got the nerve. You know how we do each other. Oh, I can't believe. Wasn't he in jail last year? And now he's got the audacity to be sitting up here on the praise team. Like Jesus can't save. Do you really believe Jesus can save? And that person can be on the praise team. I'm telling you, if we could just grasp hold of this. People will hold things over your head about your past. But God, all that matters is your today and your future. You know, I brought two books with me, and you guys may be familiar with this guy, John Ramirez. I think we may have showed his video. His video is still up on YouTube, I believe, and he gives his testimony. Devil worshiper. Oh, man, I didn't even know. A friend of mine told me about his two books, Unmasking the Devil. He went from worshiping Satan, I mean an all-out ranked devil worshiper, to preaching the word of God and writing books and exposing Satan for who he is. This guy right here, I'm going to pass the book around. And then here is his testimony, Out of the Devil's Cauldron, A Journey from Darkness to Light. Again, a devil worshiper. Same author, John Ramirez, his testimony in that one, and in that one called Unmasking the Devil, he talks about all the things that are out in society that line up with satanic worship. You know, I was amazed at some of the things I was reading. You know, some of the things that I thought were harmless, and he was talking about, oh no, we put a curse on that, we do that. I was like, oh my God. And this man is exposing the enemy for who he is. He's talking about all these false religions that are really satanic in their foundation. Oh man, he just talked about all the things that they had out there, that Satan has out there to deceive people. So again, we talk about how God can turn and how God can set you free. So you pray against the evil deeds of darkness. You know, I don't care what it is, what you've done, take it to the cross. And leave it there. Don't pick it up again. And don't let anybody put it on you again. I'm telling you, who better? See, the enemy does not want you to testify. He doesn't want people like John Ramirez testifying about where Jesus had brought him from. Because, oh boy, that really does damage to his kingdom. Because other Satan worshipers will read that. Well, maybe I can be set free too. Maybe I can. Some of the things you all have been through. As I said, people have been through divorce. People have been through, you know, losing spouses. People have been through losing children through death. And boy, the enemy doesn't want you to testify and tell somebody else, listen, God can bring you through that. He brought me through it. He can bring you through it too. That's what he wants to keep quiet. So you've got to press on. Open your mouth and testify about what God has done in your life. In your notes, it says there is a relief and peace when you allow Christ to cleanse you and keep you cleansed perpetually. Never believe the liar who will tell you that your stains are beyond the cleansing relief of Christ. Never believe that. As the scripture says, awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Ephesians 5:14. In your notes it says, is there another trusted believer who could have also composed your list? So this, what we just talked about in Ephesians 5 is a list of things that you want to put before God about yourself. You know, and sometimes you need to go to your prayer partner. Or another believer, could they compose your list? Because sometimes we need someone who knows your weaknesses to see you, your blind spots. Because sometimes we have blind spots concerning ourselves. And we need somebody else to say, well, you know. And sometimes you can go back and see what someone has told you over, or multiple people have told you the same thing over and over again, and you don't want to receive it, you need to put that down on the list, because more than likely it is true. And we want to overcome, folks. Next on your lesson, it says, this is where it can get very uncomfortable for you, as you must subdue your pride and allow a brother or sister to speak into your life. We all have blind spots, parts of ourselves that we cannot see without the help of a brother or sister. God has always spoken his word through men and women of faith. You cannot see your back directly to point out a mole or a freckle or a scar. You need a brother or sister to see it for you. And once they see it and tell you, you need to nail that to the war room wall. Okay, Lord, here's one more thing that I'm dealing with. I remember my mother told me one time, and it killed me because she listened to these podcasts and she hears herself. She said, you just mean. I'm like, I'm not mean. It just get on my nerves, Mom. But that thing stayed with me. It stayed with me. Because somebody else told me I was mean. I'm mean, am I, Connie? I'm trying, Connie. I'm sorry I made you eat vegetables when you came to my house.
That was just mean.
Yeah. And you know, I tell you, Lord, that thing just stayed with me and stayed with me and stayed with me. And boy, you know, the Lord had to show me. He said, yeah, you are mean. Let me show you how you mean. You're just impatient with people. You need to be more patient. You know, I'm like, okay, I just, you know, and the Lord just had to show me myself. You know how impatient I was. You know, that choleric temperament always wants to get it done. And you don't have time for slow people. And I don't have time for weak people and slow people. Yeah. You know? Just get it done. You know? And that can be, boy, and it translates into meanness, folks. I know you are choleric. Clerics, you know, you hear me. You hear me, the clerics in the room, you hear me. It translates to other people as meanness. And that's what they'll call you, just mean. You know. Mean Karen. I know. So, you know, you got to let people tell you stuff, you know, and they may have already told you, so you need to write it down. Like, Lord, help me with my meanness. I'm just mean, Lord Jesus. And my mama told me, hey, what's up with that? If your mama tell you, what, where can you go from there? Except to Jesus. So, it says, there is relief and peace when you allow Christ to cleanse you and keep you clean. Did I read that already? I read that already. Let me move down. Okay. So receive the list and nail it to your war room wall. The next section, and we're going to end here. Be sure that that person speaking into your life is speaking according to the word of God. And you know when they're telling you the truth. See, I knew my mom was telling me the truth, but I didn't want to receive it. Be careful of false prophets and false teachers. Okay, and this is the other shoe dropping, folks. There are people that are out there that are false teachers, false prophets, people that have controlling spirits that would try to control you. You know, they know that you're vulnerable. You know, so be careful of those folks too. Be, when truth hits you, you know it. You feel it all the way down in your spirit when someone tells you the truth. Be careful of those who bring condemnation without grace and redemption through Christ Jesus. If somebody's telling you about yourself, they need to also be telling you how Jesus can help you. You don't have to stay like this. This is not what Christ has for you. He's got better things for you. See, that's when you know they're speaking truth. The Holy Spirit within you will know what is of God and what is of man or Satan. And I had to put that section in there because a lot of that goes on too. Always balance it. Always balance things. Be careful of controlling people that will take advantage of you because your heart is open. You know, make sure that they're bringing the whole counsel of God. Jesus doesn't just tell you about yourself and just leave you there to deal with it on your own. He stays right there with you. Okay, come on, let's reason together. Let's talk. Though your sin be as scarlet, I will make it white as snow. Yeah, I'm going to tell you about your sin, but I will make it white as snow. See, there's always that other part to it. So make sure you're getting both parts and not just one. You know, because people can just condemn, and not give you any hope. People should always be given hope. The Holy Spirit will guide you into what's truth and what is something else. And I'm going to leave it right there for that section. Anybody have any comments or questions?
I was just going to say, my sister passed away last week, and my niece, she's from Spring, put in the obituary at the end, "We have joy, and it's going to be a celebration because my mother accepted Jesus Christ as her personal Savior and Lord." And I know one of my neighbors, like, really, you had to put that in paper. And they didn't have a preacher. Well, long story, they didn't have a preacher, but we could not believe, from the smallest to the middle class, they didn't need a preacher. My family knew the Lord and gave scriptures along with the funny things about my sister, but that they wanted it in the paper to know that they the joy of her love. And that I've never been to a funeral where there was so much laughter and joy because everybody got to share something about it. So,
we are a holy nation of peculiar people, and that's the way it be. That
you know, we our leadership should be commended. Whoever their pastor is should be commended, because look at these folks. They can preach all by themselves, you know. They can carry on. So that's the way it should be. So praise God.
The young girl that sang on the guitar, and that, didn't share the scripture and made victory. We already have victory.
Yes.
And it was a lot of laughter, and yet the word of God was there. So I just know seeds were planted there.
Amen. See? I'm telling you, weddings and funerals. That's the best places to preach, man. I'm telling you. Anybody else?
The scripture of John 13, verse 36, and this is the children's Bible. "I give you a new command. Love each other. You must love each other as I have loved you. All people will know that you are my followers if you love each other." I just want to add, sometimes you need to add a little sugar to your love, because some people don't feel it, and it's not sweet, and it's not appealing.
Man, I tell you, that love goes deep. And love, it goes beyond feeling. Love is not just feeling. We think it is, but it goes deep. And you know, and that's our ID card. They'll know we are Christians by our love. Remember that old song? They'll know we're Christians by our love. I love that song. Anybody else?
The only thing I want to share is that the Lord sends you from New York because he knew we needed you. You're doing a good job.
And I needed you all too. I tell you, don't think this is a two-way street. I needed you guys. I needed the people of Colorado. I really did, you know. I really did, and I'm so grateful and so blessed to be here. Yeah. Anybody else?
You might not be there.
They've wired me down.
On March 4th, I was in this class, and I asked for prayer because I was going to have surgery on March 7th. And y'all prayed for me, and a few of the ladies ministered to me on March 6th, the night before the surgery. I was in my bed trying to go to sleep with all this anxiety. And I was like in this, I started to go down into this dark, dark terror. It was just starting to flood my soul with terror I never felt before. And then I remembered 2 Corinthians 10, to take every thought captive. And I remembered the prayer that you all prayed for me on March 4th. And I said, I'm not going to accept this terror. I'm going to take, you know, these thoughts captive. And thank you, God, for the prayers in my Sunday school class, because that brought me peace, and I was able to go through the night and sleep, and then go through the next day through the surgery, which was cancer in my uterus, but they said it was contained, so it was, it's gone, and I praise God for all your prayers.
Thank you for sharing that, because you can take authority over the enemy, knowing that the prayers of the saints, I've experienced that too, just feeling terror over what was coming that day, and just taking authority over it in the name of Jesus Christ, and that thing just lifted, and you're able to face the day, you know, yes, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah.
I just want to give it to you, that fire that was on back to the road, it was 2 blocks from my daughter's house, and when I didn't even know, somehow my phone got turned off, and she tried to call me 5 times, she said, Grandma, why don't you answer your phone, you know, and I didn't even know that, and then when I did find out, I said, well, Rachel, there was an angel right there, I said, just as far as you're going, you're not going any further than this. And she said, yeah, I know that. And that's the way we live, is that when tragedy like this happens, there's an angel that says, okay, this is as far as you go, you're not going to honor this. And that's what happened, because all those houses were burned down, and she was 2 blocks from that house.
I tell you, you're the second believer that told me that this week. Somebody else, you know, they said 5 houses burned, but it did not come near their home. You know, their home was perfectly fine. They said they had smoke, but they did not get...
She had smoke.
Yes, yes.
Yes,
yes. Yeah, she said the same thing. It didn't jump over to her property. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Wow.
Because she lives in Mobile Home, and it was a bit devastating, you know. But I made it, I believe it, or Nancy, because when she heard that, she called me, they are praying, my house is about to get on fire. So then we went to the prayer room, and she started praying. And of course, I was praying, but I didn't know what I was praying for, because I didn't know what was happening, you know. So, but yeah, that's how God protects. You know, He just protects. We don't even realize it until it's done.
And I'm telling you, folks, I'm telling you. We're in war. We're in warfare. You know, even these fires, you keep praying. Keep praying. I'm telling you, prayer changes things.
Amen.
It changes things. Don't let any demon tell you it won't. You.
I'm praying for this to be a change in my mother's life.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes us. That's what I love. Prayer changes us.
Yes. Yes. And then they wouldn't even let her in the house.
Yes.
And so she's walked out of it. And so she
yes. 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 Oh, wow.
But,
wow.
Yeah, I mean, it was just so quick.
Yes. Well, with those winds, the winds being what they were, man, I was like, oh, my God, there's a fire today?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Oh, God is good. God is good and God is faithful.
She said she could actually feel the heat
from the fire. Wow.
It definitely
has to move for
home.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yes. We devastated. Yes. Absolutely. Anybody else before we. I was just going to say, speaking on prayer, I get my grandson every Wednesday night, and pick him up from school and take him to his ball games or whatever, and then bring him to church on Wednesday night. And then when we go to bed, we always pray the Our Father, and then we say the 23rd Psalm together. And we always ask God to forgive us for all our unrighteousness and to cleanse us from it, based on 1 John 1:9. And my grandson, his other grandma said that he wants to pray that when he spends the night at their house. And she told him, where did you learn all that? Oh, he says, my other grandma. So, you know, he tells me, you know, he learned that, the 23rd Psalm in Royal Rangers, and we teach that to the boys in Royal Rangers, and he has not forgotten it.
ever since he learned it. And it's the New King and the King James Version that we quote. So, but prayer is powerful.
It is. And, you know, it's powerful and it's truth. Mm-hmm. You know, I believe he will remember that all the days of his life. He will remember that 20, just like I remember. You know, and we all remember that 23rd Psalm because it's truth, and truth can't go away. You understand? Well, it'll keep sprouting up over and over. You know, so praise God. Thank you for sharing that.
Well, our Father, you know, covers every area, you know, our spiritual beings, just like the 23rd Psalm is.
Amen.
And so, you know, to go to bed, pray that every night. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, preparing to cover himself spiritually.
Yes.
And the truth sets us free. It may hurt, but it'll set us free.
So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. And as Irene said, thank you for your truth, Lord God. Thank you for your word, Lord God. Lord, many times it hits us right between the eyes, Lord God. It comes in where we live, oh Lord God, but it changes us. It cleanses us, Lord God. So I pray, oh God, for every heart, every mind, every spirit in this room, Lord God, that we would be open to what you're saying to us. Oh Lord, even when it hurts and even when it's uncomfortable, Lord God, I pray that we would open ourselves up to your Holy Spirit. Oh God, we would not make excuses for our sin. But we bring our sins, Lord God, to the cross, Lord God. Father, I rebuke the liar, Lord God, that would try all kind of ways to keep us from the cross, to keep us holding on to our burden of sin. Oh God, I rebuke him and I cast him down in the name of Jesus. I take authority over him in the name of Jesus. And I pray that truth would prevail in our lives in the name of Jesus, that we would seek after, that we would hunger after the truth, and that nothing would keep us from it. In the name of Jesus, Father, that we would continue to be diligent in seeking your word, in prayer, Lord, in Bible reading, in Bible study, in meditating on your word, Lord God, as you give us revelation as to what it means for our lives, Lord. Father, we just thank you and we praise you, Lord, and it is our commitment to grow up in you. Oh, Lord, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.